Will the next Star Wars Jedi game be the best? Are people burned out from superhero movies? And are Mike's Hard Lemonade the best fruity alcoholic drink? Well, I talk about all that and more on this episode of The Toddcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Toddcast. As always, I'm your host, Todd McManus. And today, not too much on the schedule, that is, on today's episode. First thing I wanted to go ahead and talk about is on April 28th, it is the release date for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Jedi Survivor, of course, being the sequel to the Star Wars video game Jedi Fallen Order. I'm looking forward to it, hopefully going to get it. And since this episode comes out April 1st, so it is this month that Jedi Survivor will be releasing for PC probably and PS5 and the Xbox consoles as well. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to see what the story has for us for Cal Kestis and to see where the Star Wars story in the video game goes and to see what's next. They may make a third one. Who knows? He might die. I don't know. Well, we'll figure it out when we get to play the game and we'll see what happens. So, I wanted to go ahead and go into this topic that I actually saw different places talk about, is that apparently the rate of people going to the movie theater has gone down, and it's gone down since COVID. So when COVID happened, of course, nobody could go because they closed them, and then when they opened them back up, they were pretty low because they couldn't fit people in there because of the capacity rule. And then now, you can go wherever you want. It don't matter. But people were wondering, apparently, that the rate has gone down, as in not many people are going to theaters as much. And there's different factors that can go into this, of course. Inflation and all that stuff, stuff's getting expensive and people aren't making enough money to be able to pay for their rent or their home note or whatever and all their insurances and everything and go to the movie theater, which, there's a new show or a new movie, I feel like, coming out every week on Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. There's crap to watch. If you never go to the theater and you only watch streaming services and you're okay with watching literally anything, all the way from horror movies to rated R action movies, all the way down to even kids shows if you wanted to. There's stuff for everybody on these streaming services. But what these people were talking about is that it's gone down because of apparently that people are burned out on superhero movies with Marvel and DC. And I can kind of understand that because, Marvel puts out, three to four movies a year. And DC also is trying to do two to three a year, and put those together, that's at least five or more superhero movies a year. And when you got one coming out every other month, they just kind of get burned out. And I understand they want to get to the point of building the story with all these characters. And if you don't put out movies fast enough, the story's going to go long, and then from the first Iron Man movie to Infinity War and Endgame was, 10 years? And 10, 11 years around there? And that was fine. But they're trying to go with it because apparently it's known that people have a shorter attention span nowadays. That's why TikTok and, I was going to say Vine. That's why Vine was good when it was around. But that's why TikTok is good, because people can watch, a 15-second video or shorter and just scroll. Okay, I just watched the video. Boom. Next one, That way they can just snap them out, But I don't really understand that for Marvel and DC's sake, because I like to enjoy a good superhero movie, whether it's The Batman or a Spider-Man movie or whatever, Like, the next Marvel movie that comes out is actually next month in May, and it is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And then the one after that for Marvel, this is just Marvel only right now, but for Marvel, it's that one, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in May, and then in November is The Marvels, which is, you know, Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel, and I think Monica Rambeau. So it's like, there's a good gap between May and November. You know, a lot of things can happen in that time. But DC, like, the new Shazam movie just came out recently. They had Black Adam at the... Was that the end of the year, I think? Yeah, that was at the end of the year. And Black Panther was not too far from that. There was, I think, 4 Marvel movies last year. And then there's apparently going to be another DC movie this year in the summer, which is The Flash. So there's a lot. That's what a lot of people, or some people, are saying, is that they're just putting out constant superhero movies, and that they're questioning is like, are people getting burned out? You know, there's the Into the Spider-Verse movie is coming out this year. I think it's called Across the Spider-Verse. Let me look it up real quick so I can tell you actual day. I want to say July something. Yeah, or June 2nd. So June 2nd is when that's going to happen. So they're back to back. Across the Spider-Verse is in June, and a month before that is Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in May. And those are both Marvel, except the Spider-Verse movies made by Sony, because they still own the rights of Spider-Man. But yeah, I'm not too sure of what some people think. You know, I mean, in my opinion is my opinion, of course. That, you know, I think that, like, I'm not burned out on them. I don't think that there is really any way. I mean, there is a way I could get burned out on them if I was watching them every day. But they're spaced out far enough for me. But the thing is, there is some movies that I may not just go and see. Like, I haven't seen Shazam 2 yet. You know, I might wait and watch it on HBO Max, you know. Just because a new superhero movie comes out in theaters doesn't mean you have to go see it. You know, nobody's making you do this except yourself. So if you don't want to watch The Flash, Shazam, The Marvels, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, that's up to you. That, like, this is your choice, you know. And Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania just came out like 2 months ago. So that's another thing back in February to add on to that. So I can understand people saying that they get burnt out because that's like half the movies in a year that come out in theaters, I feel like, are Marvel or DC movies. And, you know, Marvel has really stopped pushing out their shows right now. The next season of Loki and the next season of What If are supposed to be coming out this year. So we'll wait and see when that happens. They're kind of focusing on Star Wars right now because The Mandalorian is still going on, which is good. I haven't caught up yet, but I have watched the first first two or three episodes. I don't remember how many it was so far, or how many I've watched so far. But on the subject of being burned out from superhero movies, is that it's yourself that would create the burnout for yourself, if that makes sense. So it's like, you go to the movie theater. You pay for a movie ticket. You go into the theater with the ticket that got ripped in half, because that's what they do. You go in, you find a seat and sit down, unless you picked one, and you find it and sit in it. You sit there, you watch the M&M commercial at the beginning, which is always the best. You watch all these other commercials for movies that are going to be coming out within another year. And then you watch the whole movie, and then if it's a Marvel movie or any other movie, some movies, almost all of them nowadays, I feel like, have end credit scenes. Which, if they don't have end credit scenes, I feel like it's just taken that it's lame because they don't have one. But yeah, if you do all that and then you yourself complain like, man, I'm burned out on superhero movies, it's like, well, you only have yourself to blame for that. Nobody, you can't blame Marvel or DC. Why are they putting out so many movies? You know, it's like, they're trying to make money. That's their main thing. And then, you know, in the back of their minds, trying to tell a good story. And that's a hit or miss sometimes. But I kind of just don't understand people who might complain saying they have burnout, because the only person who contributes to that is yourself, and that is solely up to you on whether you did that. So, but yeah, there I don't see a problem with putting out all these movies. In my opinion, I personally don't have a problem with it. But other than that, I don't have burnout because I don't make myself watch them all the time. Like, even at home, I hardly watch superhero movies. I watch a show. I really love watching Star Wars. That's not superhero, but I love watching the Star Wars shows, of course, like The Mandalorian. And, like, I'll watch Invincible when it comes out. I'll watch The Boys when it comes out on Prime. Those two on Prime. I'll watch different Marvel shows or DC shows that'll come out. But that's not the only thing I'm watching. That's not the only thing that I consume. You know, I got other shows and other movies to watch. I got other things to do. I got video games to play. You know, I got other stuff that I want to do. And the other stuff that I want to do may not be solely dedicated to superheroes, whether it's movies or whatever. But yeah, like that's just my opinion. You know, just pace yourself out. You know, if a movie comes out, and I know the main reason, especially with Marvel movies, is that people will have to go see them, and I say have to, but you don't have to, but I say it because the only reason somebody might think that they have to go see a Marvel movie or a DC movie as soon as they come out is because of the spoilers. You know, like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I would like to go see it pretty soon when it comes out, within another week or two of it, but if I don't, I don't, and if I get spoiled to it, so what? You know, it's be like, oh man, I wish I saw that, you know. But then the thing is, that's not going to be a life point in my life that I'm going to be thinking about for the rest of time, that I'm going to be like, you know, 80 years old, dying on my deathbed and be like, I remember getting spoiled to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. You know, that's not going to be my last death wish, is that I hope, what do you regret from your life? I regret getting spoiled to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. You know, it's like, it's stupid is what it is. You know, within, you know, a month, not even that, I'm going to forget. You know, like, I was spoiled to, I already knew that Garfield and Maguire were going to show up in No Way Home, the Spider-Man movie. Which one was I spoiled to? I was spoiled to one of them. Infinity War, I definitely was, because I watched it in a questionable method. Dang it, which one was it? Was it Endgame? No, it was not Endgame. It was one of the Marvel movies that I got spoiled to because I watched a video of somebody recording it in the theater, which is illegal. You don't need to do that, but it was on social media. That was the thing. So it was like, I didn't go seek it out on the sketchy website or nothing on good old 123 Movies. I actually looked at, I was actually just on Instagram or Facebook or something, and then it just popped up, and I'm like, okay, I just kind of watched that. But it was one of them. I can't remember which movie it was. But yeah, it was one of the Marvel movies from a while back that I got spoiled to, and I was like, dang, I didn't want to get spoiled to that. I just don't think that should be your reason to go see it immediately. If you want to see it and you're a fan, go for it. I'm not saying you shouldn't go, but I'm saying that the burnout situation is that don't complain and say that, oh, I'm burned out because I keep putting out so many movies. You need to be saying, I'm burned out because I'm forcing myself to go see these movies as soon as they come out, which is every month at this point. But if you don't want to go, don't go. That's solely up to you. I'm basically just trying to give you some kind of advice on watching movies. But yeah, like, I like all the movies. That's just my opinion, solely my thoughts and my opinions. So take it with a grain of salt if you want, but that's up to you. If you don't want to go, don't go. If you do, you do. I can't change your mind. I can't change your mindset and what you think, but that is just, that's just what I think. So I'm ready for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I think it's going to be pretty good. Adam Warlock is going to be in it. See, I just said all that bull crap, and now here I am saying, man, I got to watch that when it comes out. I'm excited about Guardians of the Galaxy 3, honestly. I really am. Like, I do want to see that. It's the shows that I feel like that I'm getting more excited for now, because with movies, I got to go to the theater. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to the movie theater. I want to sit at home. I want to stay home and watch the new season of Loki or whatever. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to, is being able to sit back and watch like an hour episode of a show every Wednesday or Friday or whatever. That's what I'm looking forward to. I think Marvel is Fridays, because Star Wars is Wednesdays. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is getting back in that groove, because What If is so good. I can't wait for What If. They could make like 8 seasons of that show, because it's so good, and they need to do it for Star Wars. They need to make What If Star Wars. You could do a What If for anything. You could do a What If Phineas and Ferb if you wanted to. That's solely up to the companies. You know, I feel like, I think Disney owns Phineas and Ferb. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 90% sure they do. And if they don't, whoever has it can do it themselves. But What If Star Wars would be so good? If they did it in the Clone Wars style animation, man, take my money. Just take my money. That was me banging a credit card on the desk that I don't have. Take my money. What If Star Wars? That is how... I don't know if they thought about that, but come on. Like, if there's no possible way that you can't think that, you know, you gotta do, like, you could do so much stuff. You could just do, you know, take a random Jedi and say, what if they turn to the dark side? You know, what if Kenobi turned and Anakin didn't? Or what if they arrested Palpatine, and, you know, what was going to happen after that, you know, and could have started a whole nother war, you know? Or what if Luke turned and went with Vader, and they took down Palpatine, and now the galaxy is ruled by Vader and Luke Skywalker, you know? Whatever, you know, you could literally pick anything out of the whole 9 movies or any of the shows. Just do it in Clone Wars style animation, and just call it What If Star Wars. Boom. That's all you gotta do. That's it. That's literally it. So, that was my spiel about that. But yeah, I'm excited for new shows. I'm going to probably watch the new episode of Mandalorian after this recording, actually. So, yeah. So, with all that being said, it is now time for a little questions. Of course, if you ever want to ask a question that you would like to be answered on a future episode, you can go down to the link in the description of this podcast episode and tap or click on it. It'll take you to my YouTube channel. And in the comments section of a video, comment your question. And also, if you want to, you can comment or you can comment a food, drink, or whatever you would like for me to review on a future episode as well. So I've got 2 questions before we get into the review, of course. I got 2 questions here, and we're going to go ahead and get into them. This first question, I may have been asked this before, but it's been a while. This is episode 169. Nice. So it's like, how can I remember? if I'm asked, you know, 1 to 2 questions every other episode, you know, that says a lot. So yeah, we're going to go ahead and get into this first question, and y'all can play along as well if you want to. This question is, what is a good app you think people should be using more? Let me just look through my phone and see what apps I have. The Surge Fun app. No. Sorry, only a few people are going to get that. What's a good app? I mean, if you go to Chick-fil-A a lot, I would definitely recommend probably the Chick-fil-A app, because it's easy to use and you can get like a lot of points out of stuff. Same with like Subway. The only thing they give you, it's not a point system, but they give, like, if you order, if you spend so much money, they'll give you, like, $2 off the next order or something like that. Whataburger has good rewards. I'm going to go to the Whataburger app. Now I'm just talking about all the food apps for now. Whataburger's got good rewards. Let's go to the rewards page. I got 983 points. Let's go. Oh, I can get some stuff. Oh, they got more stuff now. I ain't been to Whataburger. I've been to Whataburger like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I didn't see this. So the cheapest thing you can get with the points is a chocolate chip cookie, which is 200 points. What's the most expensive? The most expensive items are 1,600 points. It is a garden salad with chicken, the apple and cranberry chicken salad, or a Cobb salad. So the salads are the highest tier of reward points. And then, of course, under that, they have the patty melt, the honey barbecue chicken strip sandwich. Why do they make the salad? Well, I guess because the salad's got, like, the most crap on it, so... Yeah, I can go all the way up to the breakfast burger, which is 900 points, because I have 983. So I can get some of the breakfast items and the shakes. The taquitos are good. The bacon taquito, the bacon, egg, and cheese taquito. That's literally it. It's bacon, egg, and cheese. It's like one strip of bacon in the middle, and then wrapped with egg and some cheese. Man, that taquito's good. Milk. I can spend 300 freaking points on milk. What else is 300 points? Apple juice, coffee, oh, the drinks. And a grilled cheese for 350? Oh, I can get two of them. Yeah, I think Whataburger has, like, a lot of rewards. So it's kind of like the same thing with Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A, though, the way their point system is kind of, like, wonky. Because there's a crap ton of stuff they have. But you got to go all the way up to 18. If you're a Red member, you get 1,800 points, and you can get 10 of the Chick-fil-A minis, of the chicken minis. And then 1,800 points for the salads. What's up with these salads? Why do they want us to get so many dead-gum points and go all the way? And you know what? I'm going to redeem. I got 2,000 Chick-fil-A points, and I'm going to go redeem them. What are you going to go redeem them with? You know what? I'm thinking about redeeming to get the Cobb salad, because that's what I want. You know, I want to spend, you know, hundreds of dollars at Chick-fil-A to get a Cobb freaking salad. You know, that's what I want. That's what I want. You know, why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I want the market salad for 1,800 points on the Chick-fil-A app? You know, if I'm a Red member and I got 1,800 points, you know what else I can get? The 10 chicken minis. Now, tell me, and you got to say this with a straight face, would you rather have, for the same point price, 1,800 points, would you rather have 10 chicken minis or the spicy Southwest salad? You know, like, why would you want that? And then the most expensive thing, apparently, is that if you're a signature member, you can use 3,000 points for a gallon of the Chick-fil-A lemonade, or you can also use your 3,000 points on 30 nuggets. I'm sold. That's all I need. You know, can you imagine? And the thing is, I have had the 30 nugget meal because, lo and behold, my girlfriend has the Chick-fil-A app, and she had that many points, and we got the 30 chicken nuggets. You know, she may not like that I said that, but we did get them, and good Lord, they were good. And she can tell you too, she'll double down with me that they were good, and that was a lot, and my stomach was hurting after eating all those nuggets. So yeah, what else I got here? Sonic doesn't have rewards, and that's bull crap. They should have rewards. As many times as I eat there, they got a new sandwich or a new burger. They got these new tots at Sonic, and they're barbecue chip seasoned. That's the thing. They're not barbecue seasoned. They're barbecue chip seasoned. So the chips that are barbecue, the seasoning that they use on that, they season that onto the tots, which is interesting. Barbecue tots. That's a very interesting thing. See, Sonic's breaking through. The new app exclusive early access that I have is the new Supersonic Double Stack Cheeseburger. Now, the new Supersonic Double Stack Cheeseburger is as follows. It has a nice brioche bun. It has two patties. It's got pickles, grilled onions, mayo, mustard, shredded cheese, and cheddar cheese sauce. What you need to do is take off the mayonnaise and the mustard and the pickles. Keep the grilled onions and the cheese and add bacon because that, my friend, will be good. I gotta get that now. I'm gonna go get that like tomorrow probably. What else do I got here? Taco Bell has a lot of rewards. I just never get on the Taco Bell app because I just never get Taco Bell because, I mean, if I wanted to destroy my toilet, I would just take a sledgehammer to it. Oh, I gotta sign in. Taco Bell sucks. they always sign me out of my account on the app, so I was like, I don't even care anymore. The Wendy's app has rewards that I didn't even know of. Yeah, take me around, little cup dude. I got a Frosty showing me the rewards. Okay, I'm visiting the reward store. Let's see what the most expensive thing is. Oh, 800 points is the most expensive, and you know what it is? It's tied between two things. The Baconator and the Fresh Made Salad. Why is that the thing? Has nobody else noticed this? I guess nobody else may not be on food apps as much as me, but has anybody else noticed this? That the most amount, the highest point costing food item on all, like, all these apps are freaking salads. Why? I don't know. I don't understand. I got the Crumble Cookie app. Let's see if they do. They have rewards. They have gifts. No, they don't have rewards. I'm going to go through the cookies they have. It's sea salt, toffee, lemon poppy seed. Oh, it's got lemon filling in the cookie. Let's go. The Monster Cookie, which has peanut butter, chocolate candies, which is M&M's, chunks, brown sugar, and oatmeal. They got Texas Sheet Cake. That sounds kind of good. Raspberry Cheesecake, and of course, my favorite, the classic pink sugar. So what was your question? what's a good app that I think people should be using more? Well, I'm going to go away from the food. I mean, if you need a job, Indeed is really good. That's how I got this job I have now, my new job, my new position that I told y'all that I was leaving my last position, and I already have a new job, so at a different company that I really like. I mean, if you don't have the Anchor app, it's not called Anchor anymore. It's called Podcasters, which is interesting because it was owned by Spotify before, but then they called it Anchor, and now they just call it Podcasters. So, I don't know. I guess you could say the Health app, maybe, or the Maps app. I don't really know. There's not really an app that just benefits me. I mean, if you go to the movies a lot, use Cinemark. If you have a Cinemark theater. Just, if you go to a place a lot, the basic rule here is that if you go to, like, a restaurant or the theater or wherever, if you go somewhere a lot, try to find if they have an app. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to have some type of point system and rewards. So, if you go to places a lot, like Sonic should have rewards with the amount that I go there. I go there now that I work and I don't get free food for lunch, only sometimes. I have to go get lunch, and Sonic I get like once a week at least, you know, which I do need to try. I want to try that burger that they got. I'm not that fan of a fast food burger other than, you know, some places like chicken sandwich always gets me. Like, I love the bourbon bacon chicken sandwich from, is it the bourbon bacon? No, it's not the bourbon bacon. It's The Bacon Pub chicken sandwich that they have at Wendy's, that is a goated sandwich. Get no pickles on there, too. And they put so much sauce, like that burger they had. They had cheddar cheese sauce, mayo, and mustard all on one burger. Like, that's way too much, you know. So yeah, I would suggest a food app of your favorite place that you go. Just see if they have an app. Whether it be, you know, Sonic, Subway, well, Sonic don't have rewards, but Subway, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, places like that, Whataburger, they have a lot of rewards. So try to do rewards. The health app is really good. You know, if you walk around a lot with your phone in your pocket, or if you even have an Apple Watch, it'll of course keep track of your steps, how far you've walked, how many flights of stairs you go up, all that kind of stuff. It helps you out really good to see if you're, you know, walking pretty good every day. And the Podcasters app, that way y'all can listen to me. Or any podcast app, actually. So yeah, those are my apps that I think people should use more. So the next question we have is, what is the best piece of advice you have for relationships? I don't even know. I have been with my amazing girlfriend for over a year now, which is awesome, which is amazing, you know. Best piece of advice, which is weird that I can now be able to give advice. Like, being together for a year, you know, that's amazing. Awesome. I love it, you know. But I'm in the position now where I can give advice. I can give dating advice. And, like, legit, you know. I mean, we're long distance, so we're not, you know, we're not seeing each other physically every day. So I feel like there's different approaches, of course, with long distance and being able, and short distance, I guess. I would say be open at the beginning, but you both need to agree to be opening. Be open. You know, like me and my girlfriend have been open since the beginning of like what we want, what we want to do, you know, what our future holds of what we plan on and what we want. But I suggest, you know, be open in the fact that, you know, you need to be able to conversate with the person you're with, you know, whether it's girl, guy, whoever, and whatever the age difference is, you know, of course, above 18, of course. And mainly with the being open part is that you want to talk about, like I just said, what you want. What do you want? Like, it's not what you want to gain from the relationship, because I don't like saying that, because it sounds like I'm gaining something and then I'm leaving. You know, what I want to gain from the relationship, and what I've thought about, and what I have gained from the relationship that I'm in, is knowledge of knowing what and how to do and what and when of, you know, being more caring and all that. And the main thing that I gained was that I gained a life partner. That's what I gained. Because I don't like talking about it in that in a sense of saying that, oh, what do you want to gain from the relationship? It's like, you know, that's like the same thing as going to work at a job and say, what do you plan on gaining from this position? And when they say it like that, it kind of sounds like, oh, you're not going to be here for your entire life. So it's like, it's not really that I want to gain anything. I want to be able to have somebody that I care for and cares for me, and we care for each other equally, and then to build a good, healthy, stable relationship, and to be able to, you know, do all the great things in life together. You know, all the way to ended up living together in our 80s and 90s in a nice house, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, all that good stuff. Retired with a lot of money. But I just think that you need to be open, and also be yourself. There's no reason that you should put on some kind of face or mask or whatever you want to call it and try to act like somebody you're not. And because there's a lot of people that do that, that, you know, they'll act like, and I understand when somebody, the way somebody acts with somebody they care about, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, their wife, their husband, whoever, fiance, whatever it is, like, you're going to act one way with them, and then you are going to act a different way with your friends you've known for, like, 5 or more years, you know. Like, I have friends that I've known for more than 5 years, and, or less or more, you know. I have a friend that I've known for about 10 years, and the way I act with him is going to be different than the way I act with my girlfriend. Because the way I act with my friend, you know, we cut up, you know, make fun, you know, be funny, you know, all that kind of stuff, make jokes, all that. And it's like, but with my girlfriend, I'm still going to make jokes. It's just there's, and everybody can understand this, that there's a limit of going, you know, you don't want to act the same way to both. But you definitely don't want to treat your friend the way you treat your girlfriend. Because that would be weird if you're going down that road. But, like, you also got to treat your loved one, like, she's not only my girlfriend, but she's, like, my best friend, too. Because you, and I say that in a loving way, of course, because you are around them a lot, and you get each other, and you're able to, like, once you know each other to a certain point, you cross that line to where that's the line you cross, you're now in the territory of able to finish each other's sentences. Oh, I know what you were thinking. I can guess where you want to go. All that kind of stuff. And that's the best area to be in. It really is. Like, being able to be with somebody and connect on that level, and I'm not even like a, like, have telepathy or something like that, it, and being able to just connect on that brainwave level and being open and being yourself, because you don't want to put a face on, because if you put a face on at the beginning of the relationship, that is the precedent that you are setting. That's who they are going to know you. The first date, the first couple dates, the first couple days that you spend together, that is what sets up the relationship that you might get into. And, you know, there's a lot of things I can go into, you know. Don't go too fast, but go at your own pace, you know. Whether that's fast for you, that's okay. If, you know, it might seem fast for other people, but, you know, we might be moving at a good speed. That's just up to people to determine that. And, you know, you will be judged. You will, you know, people will talk about you. It's going to be okay, though. There's, you know, I definitely know there's people who have been talked about me. But there's no reason that any of that, like, if you like somebody and you want to be with them and you can see yourself being with them, just go for it. There's no reason you shouldn't, you know, unless you're going to go in a way that's, like, wrong to do that, you know, but yeah. The best advice that I can give at this point, being over a year in a relationship now, is be yourself and be open. You know, I'm not saying be too open. You know, there's a certain amount. you know, don't immediately meet them, you know, and like, hi, my name's Todd. I failed a test in like the sixth grade. I got to talk about it. You know, like, there's you start out with a little bit of being open, and then you progress to more and more and more and more, and then, you know, because that's the thing, is like, there's so much that can happen in somebody's life, even when they're like 20 years old. And if you're dating somebody else that's also 20 years old, you want to tell like some good stories or some good moments in your life at the beginning. But also, that's why I say be open a little bit, because with that kind of stuff, you want to stretch those things out. If you tell all your good stories in the first, you know, 4 months that you're together, then what else have you got to talk about besides the experience that you're currently doing? You know, and be like, oh, there's a story, you know, and be together, you know, for 2+ years, and then be like, oh yeah, that reminds me of a story. And they're like, oh, you haven't told me that yet. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you, you know, and it'll be really good. You know, it'll be just so good. So yeah, so that was my sappy moment. So, and this is a real good segue into what I'm about to do. So yeah, be safe out there, be yourself, and be open. So, to your amount, it's literally up to you. I can't, like, the advice I give, I can't give you and tell you word for word, moment for moment, what to do, because that is solely up to you two. Hopefully you two, unless it's you three, then that's kind of weird. So, polygamy or what, bigamy, I don't care. That is up to you. I know that's illegal, but that is your choice. I do not care. So I'm in my relationship. I'm in a great relationship with a great person. She's amazing, and we're meant for each other. I know it. And yeah, so we worry about ourselves, and that's what we got. You know, you worry about you, and I'll worry about me and her. So there we go. So yeah. So, thank you for those questions, and now we're going to go into a drink review. And of course, it can't be an episode that ends in 69 without reviewing a little bit of some tipsy drinks. So, I have got four. I've got four different flavors of Mike's Hard Lemonade. Now, I know I've done Mike's Hard Lemonade in the past before. And there's, you know, I've done the harder lemonade, but now I'm doing hard lemonade. I haven't done one of these in a while. I haven't even drank one of these in a while. I'm going to go ahead and pop one of these open. They're supposed to be twist-offs, but I don't care, because I don't want it to hurt my fingers. So, I've got four different flavors of Mike's Hard Lemonade, and we're going to go ahead and start off with the classic lemonade. I kind of like lemonade. Some lemonades are, you know, more pungent than others. But, you know, regular, just good old Mike's Hard Lemonade ain't bad. So, oh, I can smell the alcohol. And this is something. I am reviewing four different flavors of Mike's Hard Lemonade. It is currently noon when I'm recording this. It is currently 12:05 p.m. That's right, 12:05 p.m. during the noontime. I got to go cook some food after this, after I drink four Mike's Hard Lemonades. So, let's go ahead and give them a try. And here you go. Let me clink against another one. Cheers. Okay, good. Check. Okay, all of these all have 5% alcohol. Okay, not too bad. All right, and by the way, if you don't know, I'm ranking all of these on a scale of 0 to 100 with no decimals, and I'm also ranking them against each other to see which one out of these four is the best. That's pretty good. Regular lemonade, I don't really taste the alcohol in it, so it just tastes like a good cold lemonade. I am going to give this, you know what, I'll give it a 76. It's pretty good. I like it, you know. I like a good alcoholic drink where you don't taste the alcohol. Like, because alcohol, you know, itself is nasty. I don't like it. So, yeah, that's pretty good. So, the next one we're going with is strawberry lemonade. So, let's go ahead and knock that off. So, we got, oh, that smells good. It was like strawberry candy, honestly. So, strawberry lemonade. let's go ahead and give it a try. Let's clink again. Oh, that was a good one. Okay. Good. Okay. I did not eat before this, by the way. Okay. Interesting. Is it good? It's already getting to me. I ain't even had barely any. It's a good. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm sounding like Mario now. It's a me. Strawberry lemonade. Pretty good. I like it. It's around there with lemonade for me. Let me take a little sip. I think I like it better. I'm going to get strawberry lemonade a 78. 78 for a strawberry lemonade. So it's currently better than regular lemonade. So the next one we got is pineapple strawberry. So this is an interesting one. I've never had this one before. I have had regular lemonade and strawberry lemonade before, but pineapple strawberry, I don't think I've ever had this flavor. Excuse me. It's starting to get to me. Excuse me again. So pineapple strawberry. Let's clink. Go ahead and give it a try. Oh, interesting. Okay. Not as good as the other two, in my opinion. I think pineapple strawberry is a solid third behind these. I would give still pineapple strawberry a solid 70, because it's not bad. It is a little pungent in some areas, but overall, it's not too bad. So, the last flavor we have as we training through these is black cherry lemonade. Ah, there we go. So, black cherry lemonade. Let's give it a try. Oh, clink before I do that. All right. Oh, cherry always gets to me. I'm not a big fan of cherry flavored things. Interesting. I think it is better than pineapple strawberry. I would give it a 72. So not too bad. Right ahead of pineapple strawberry a little bit. So. So, the review goes as this. Pineapple strawberry in last place with a 70. Black cherry in third with a 72. Lemonade, regular lemonade, at a 76. And strawberry lemonade in the lead in first place with a solid 78. So, that is the drinks. That is how the review stands. I'm going to be feeling a little weird later because I drank, you know, close to like over a third of each bottle, which is four of them. So I am definitely going to go eat me some food after this. Maybe the Sonic. I don't know. That might be something I need to try this week. So that is the review. That's how it stands. And that is the episode. Thank all of you for listening. As always, please rate and subscribe. And if you're listening on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and click that bell to get notified when new videos are uploaded. And make sure you follow the Toddcast on Instagram for all your updates and Toddcast needs. And tell your friends and family to give it a listen. And thank all of you once again for listening to this episode. If you want to know what's going to happen next week, we just got to tune in to find out. Only on the Toddcast.